for NPR Music. You're connected to all songs considered. I'm Bob Boylan. I'm here with Lars Gotrich, and this is
Viking's Choice.
Yes. The band is?
The band is Perturbator.
What is the song called?
This is Neo Tokyo from the record The Uncanny Valley, one of my favorite records of the year.
Here we go. Just imagine a group of really young Japanese friends in a living room,
uh-huh.
and they're all playing different video games.
Oh, yeah. Well, James Kent, he's a Parisian producer. He is massively influenced by Blade Runner and the anime Akira and lots of like synthesizer artists, like James Carpenter. All those folks, but he comes at it from, he was a metal musician originally, and so all of his stuff has a real hard edge, and I've been following his work for the last 4 or 5 years, and he's part of this movement called Synthwave. Yeah. And he's kind of at the forefront of this movement that is largely Bandcamp supported. Like, the Bandcamp community loves Perturbator, and this kind of music is really popular specifically to Bandcamp. It's an interesting tiny phenomenon. I love this guy's music, and this record in particular, he's really stepped up his game as not only a composer, but somebody who knows how to write real melodies that have like a real gut to them. And it's also really weird and chaotic too.
Yeah, let's hear a tiny bit more. So for those of you who have never experienced a Viking's Choice, at the end of every year, Lars comes in and plays me all the stuff that I probably missed.
Yeah.
And it's all the stuff that I missed on the outer fringes of so many different musics, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm writing about this music pretty much all year on the All Songs blog. Occasionally, I appear on this very show and throw a little wrench into whatever you and Robin are doing.
Happy to have that wrench.
Yeah.
Where do you want to go next?
You know, let's keep it heavy, but also kind of sad. The Belgian band Oathbreaker put out a record earlier this year called Rhea. They were a group that was kind of on my radar. They were ostensibly like a hardcore band, like a heavy hardcore band. But over the last couple releases, they've started incorporating more black metal into their music, maybe a little bit more like emotional hardcore, if you will. And this is the record where I thought they finally figured out how to bring all of their disparate influences together. And I think that's partially because the songwriting is much better and much more visceral, but also because the vocalist really came into her own. She was mostly a screamer before, but on this record, she really allowed herself to sing cleanly, as we would say in the metal world. And this record opens with a two-part song called 1056 and Second Son of R. And the first song is just Caro by herself. And she just sounds so meek and fragile. But as ambient guitar started to build up behind her, she starts to find herself in the song. Then it's just pure catharsis for 7 minutes. So why don't we listen to a little bit of the top where she is singing about kind of an act of violence against her brother in this very beautiful and poetic way. And you'll hear, like I said, the ambient guitars start to come up and then everything just explodes.
smiling to our house.
I'm gonna move in a little bit. Oh, I see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can I move it on down?
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. Play the last minute?
Yeah, it's kind of a... Once you get there, it's really, like... I really encourage people to listen to this whole song, but that last minute just, like, destroys me every time.
And we'll put the whole song online. We've got, like, a dozen things
to get
through.
We've got so many things to talk about.
But let me just hear the end.
Yeah, there is a great episode of Song Exploder, which, if you're not familiar with that podcast, it's where the host sits down with a musician and breaks apart a song piece by piece, actually gets, like, the master tracks and, like, solos things out. And they did this song, and I remember Cairo, the singer, was, like, for that last minute... It was completely improvised. The band knew that something was going to happen in that last minute when they did it in the studio, but they didn't know what. And she just, like, had at it, like, absolute catharsis.
Wow.
It's extremely chilling.
The second song, R, is the song, and the group is?
Oathbreaker, and the name of the record is Rhea.
Where to?
Why don't we quiet it down a little bit? So, out of all the music I probably listen to the most is guitar music, which is a very oversimplified way to talk about it. But I love listening to solo guitar music that is often branded as American primitive, or I love solo jazz guitar records, or blues, or country, or anything like that. And I tend to, in my brain, I put them all together because they are all explorations of a 6 or 12 string instrument. Mm-hmm. And there is this fantastic label called VDSQ that the majority of their records do this. They do solo guitar records, and they span the genres. Some of them are really strange and weird, some of them are very beautiful and very conventional. And this year, VDSQ released in their 12th volume a record by Sarah Louise, who is a guitarist out of North Carolina. And I became aware of her like a few years ago. She self-released this little record that I thought was really interesting but very raw and had a lot of potential, but wasn't maybe quite there yet. But this record, I've read interviews with her and I've talked with her, like chatted with her over email. Her basis for a lot of composition besides Appalachian folk music, which is her main basis for a lot of what she does, is she composes from nature, which sounds very hippy-dippy, like, not gonna lie, but she looks at nature and she wants to respond to it. And this is how she writes her music. And I'm going to play a song here called Floating Rhododendron. And at the 2-minute mark, it literally sounds like flowers falling into a creek. Mm.
Should we start a little before that?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Give me this when we're all done.
Absolutely.
This whole record. And the record's called?
It's just called Volume 12. It's part of the BDSQ acoustic series.
I see. It's really good. And the artist?
Is Sarah Louise.
And the song is Floating Rhododendron.
Yeah. Wow. Perfectly titled.
Yeah. No kidding. Are you going to thrash or what are we doing?
I'm going to keep it in this mode a little bit. Yeah.
And then.
and then we'll get loud again.
The hammer falls.
Why don't you start up this song?
Okay. Modular synth.
Yes.
No question. Sounds a little like a Surge modular, but maybe. Could be a Buchla. Don't know.
Ding ding.
Yeah.
It's a Buchla.
Okay.
So this is a collaborative record between Suzanne Gianni and Caitlin Aurelia Smith. Caitlin Aurelia Smith, we actually named her solo album Ears as one of our top 50 albums of the year. It's a gorgeous record. I love that record.
Oh, she's a Buchla player.
And she's also
Suzanne Gianni's a. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
now, so it's a meeting of the minds.
I see. So Buchla, for those who don't know, modular synths let's just say the 70s, we'll do that, because that's when Suzanne was making music. And there were just a few companies who were making synthesizers. Most of them were no keyboard attached.
Right.
They were just modules that you plugged one thing into another to affect the sound of each of the modules. So that's what's going on here for the most part.
Yeah. And they put out this collaborative record called Synergy. And it's part of this really great series called Freakways on the Revenge International label, where basically the entire point of the series is to pair the masters with the people making music now. And so you've had these amazing collaborative albums between the psychedelic artist Sun Ra and the Jamaican dub band The Congos. which, by the way, if you haven't heard that record, it's an incredible record. And that's just one example. And they've done many in this series. This is such a beautiful pan-generational conversation using the same language of the synth, but they Chiani and Smith definitely have their own approach to their own, to their instruments. Her solo record definitely, like, she sings on a lot of her songs on her solo record Ears, that's beautiful. But it's amazing to hear, Chiani is especially, she knew Buchla back in the day, and she was originally a classically trained pianist.
Tom Buchla, who died this year.
And actually, Gianni and Smith wrote a beautiful piece for us about Buchla. This record, this is one that I kept returning to all year. I keep hearing new things in what they do, and they're so much in tune with each other, but also know when to break apart.
Let's listen.
Just a gorgeous record. I believe that's like a 23-minute track. The name of the album is Synergy by Suzanne Gianni and Caitlin Aurelia Smith. As I said, Caitlin Aurelia Smith also put out a gorgeous solo record called Ears. That's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, I like
out.
That record a lot. That's where I first heard her. Where to? Now We Thrash?
Now We Thrash. So I've lived in Washington, D.C. for the last 10 years. I celebrated my 10-year anniversary as not only an All Songs intern 10 years ago, but as an employee just this past summer. And, you know, when you move to Washington, D.C. and you are aware of its music, you know about hardcore. Like, if you care anything about music, you know about two things. You know about hardcore and you know about go-go. And when I moved to D.C. in 2006, there wasn't really much in the way of hardcore going on. It mostly existed in the 80s and the 90s. Was very revolutionary, both musically and politically, and really galvanized like an entire international scene.
And now it galvanizes every documentary and book.
Absolutely. There are so many. But in the last 5 years, DC hardcore has come back, and I've been watching it grow and mature in that time with fascination, because some of them were picking up on what DC bands were doing in the 80s, and some of them are just going completely different directions. And in fact, I had my old neighbor and friend, Ron Knox. He wrote a beautiful piece for NPR called The State of DC Hardcore about that very thing, and not just about the current DC hardcore scene, but where it wants to go. Mm-hmm. And there are two bands that have come out of the scene that are extremely important. There's Cokebust, who have been around the longest of the new generation. And then there's Pure Disgust. Pure Disgust is a bunch of young 20-somethings that all started when they were young teen-somethings. And they've been putting out a steady diet of demos and 7-inches over the last few years of no-holds-barred political hardcore, very influenced by late 80s stuff like Negative Approach and street punk and maybe a little bit of thrash. And they finally put out their self-titled record this year. And it is 18 minutes of absolute righteous fury.
And 10 songs or something?
Yeah, it's extremely short, but that's all you really need with this kind of music, because the point is to get to the point. And all of these songs are, all the lyrics are written from the perspective of the vocalist, Rob Watson, who is young, who is black, and he basically uses this band as a pulpit to shout against like systemic racism in schools and prisons, in daily life, even within the hardcore scene itself. and he just takes absolutely no prisoners, and it's enthralling. And the music is just absolutely, it just makes you want to take a boot to the head. Like in a year where Solange put out a record that was very much about those same things, but very quiet and powerful at once, this is like just a punch to the head. Pure Disgust, that song is Slander Me. That's off their self-titled record.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Blue Apron. Blue Apron partners with sustainable farms, fisheries, and ranchers to bring you all the ingredients you need to create incredible home-cooked meals. Ingredients come paired with an easy-to-follow recipe card delivered to your door weekly in a refrigerated box. Rediscover how fun cooking can be while enjoying specialty ingredients and exploring new flavors and cuisines. Get your first three Blue Apron meals free, plus free shipping, by visiting blueapron.com/songs.
Let's play another loud, thrashy one before we go somewhere else.
Absolutely. So I've been listening to this band since I was in high school. They're called Zayo. And I'm going to tell a brief story. The first time I saw Zayo, and probably one of the first concerts I ever went to, not the first, but one of the first, I wanted to see Zayo. They were performing at a venue attached to Georgia Tech, the university in Atlanta. And usually my mom would just drop me off at shows and then be on our way and then pick me up later. You know, I was 14 or something at the time. Because Georgia Tech was so far, it was kind of like on the other side of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. She said, I need to stay. It doesn't make sense for me to go and come back. So she bought a ticket, took me and my friend David to go see Zayo. And she sat in the back and did her Bible study while a bunch of kids were like moshing or whatever.
Wow.
It's probably my favorite concert story of all time. So Zayo, I have a long history with this band. In the late 90s, they're extremely instrumental in kind of pioneering this genre that came to be known as metalcore, which is basically like a very shorthand for mixing hardcore and metal. But they were always so different and more thoughtful about what they were doing. And over the course of like two decades, they've evolved and they've continued to make new music and be very thoughtful about what they're doing through many breakups, through many lineup changes, through a lot of drama with labels and fans and everything else. And after 7 years after the last record, they came back with the Well-Intentioned Virus, which we actually did we did a first listen of a few weeks ago. It's hard for me to say this as somebody who's loved them for so long, but this is my favorite Zayo record.
Wow. And you haven't been listening to quite the metal, did you, right?
No, and I knew we were going to talk about this, and this is fine. I came prepared.
Okay.
Over the last 2 years, I have found myself retreating more from heavy and extreme sounds just in my personal life. Mm-hmm. In the last 2 years, I tend to listen more to music that is quieting or is more exploratory. And honestly, I've been listening to a lot more country and Americana music this year than I have in years past.
Is that some of that kind of change in my life when I've done that happened to be because most of my listening was now done in a room and there was someone else in the room and it became more connecting to listen to music that didn't want to hit me in the face, but it felt more like the quieter music always feels more community and connecting unless you're thrashing. But if you're just hanging out in a living room or something, was that any of that for you?
Maybe to a certain point, but I think mostly, one, my tastes have changed. I still listen to metal. I don't seek it as much as I used to. I see the phrase black and death metal or death and black metal or metallic, crusty, whatever, and my eyes kind of glaze over because I feel like I can predict it, which is unfair.
Yeah, yeah.
It's absolutely unfair, but it's just not where my ears are at. I think my ears maybe just needed a break this year. And the metal that I tend to still enjoy, at least right now, tends to be more song-driven, less extreme, and also exploratory, but maybe not as manic as I used to enjoy. This is a little bit hard for me to struggle with because I've been listening to metal like half my life. I'm 33. I've been listening to stuff since I was a teenager. As I'm growing out from it, I'm understanding what I do enjoy about metal. And Zayo is a band that I've always loved, and it is absolutely convenient that they happen to put out a record this year, but it's especially a plus that it's so excellent.
Let's listen.
Yes. So this is the song Xenophobe. That lived.
I know.
It's beautiful.
It really is. It's a little bit Tales of Topographic Oceans, if you know the Yes, the double Yes.
Absolutely.
Record, right?
It's absolutely it's Yes.
I love this. Wait, I can't go.
And I've never really heard them do this before, at least not this way, which is like this. What you're hearing right now, this is the Zayo I know and love.
Yeah.
But like those little melodic segments that they've kind of woven into this album,
that's great.
Really make it something special.
If they do come to town,
I already told them I would travel. They don't play that much anymore. They're all like either dads or like have like full-time jobs or like the drummer lives in New York, the rest of the band lives in the Pittsburgh area. So they basically do like weekend festival stuff these days, which is fine. That's a way to be. I mean, there are no spring chickens anymore, I guess.
It's really awesome. I'm going to do this because this name, I could not pronounce the name of this band, And I want to know more because it was, of all the things you gave me, this is what I loved the most.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. It's called Unwinding.
The name of the track is Unwinding. The name of the artist is Ulan Passernine.
Let's listen just a minute and tell me. I got this cool little new box from Electro-Harmonix last night. It's called Super Ego.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes phrases, sort of freezes them, but does it in sort of smart, so the little louder stuff, it holds the notes longer. And these are all these beautiful, weird decays. And so I've been listening, well, playing lots of stuff that drones, but I can play a melody on top. And so maybe it's why I connected so much. But I love when there's a, I mean, this is what Indian music is so great about. There's something that's like this big earthy thing that's holding it all together, and then there are these beautiful lilting melodies that happen while it.
Yeah.
That's what's happening here for me.
So Ulan Passernine is one of many monikers for a California-based musician named Stephen R. Smith. He's been making music since the mid-90s. He was, for people who are paying attention, maybe in the early 2000s, he was part of a group called the Jeweled Antler Collective, which were ostensibly a group of like-minded musicians who made droney folk music, which I'm oversimplifying it completely, but that's kind of what they did. And he was in these groups called Halastrana and Thuja and Mirza. And Stephen R. Smith, once he started making music outside of that, he kind of developed different personas for the different kinds of music he wanted to make. So he has his like heavy psych stuff is like known as like Ulan Markor, or like sometimes he puts out stuff under his own name and it's like really quiet. And then he has like he has several different names, but Ulan Passernine seems to. But the common thread between all of his projects is like this gorgeous psychedelic composition, and. Ulan Passernine in particular is one that I've always resonated with the most because it's the one where he kind of pulls everything in. And he really kind of delights in stretching out his music like branches of oak and kind of slowly dissolving them with all kinds of, as you can kind of hear in the back right now, you hear acoustic guitar. Eventually there will be strings and woodwinds and harmonium. And it's just stunning music, and he will do this for 20 minutes at a time. And this record called The Great Unwinding, it's a double cassette release. I think he got kind of tired of waiting for labels to pick up like his, because he puts out a lot of music, so he's self-releasing a lot right now. So he actually put out two records under the Ulan Passernine moniker this year. He put out The Great Unwinding, and then he put out a much heavier record called Moss Cathedral just a few months ago.
Let's listen to this. Beautiful. So let's go somewhere in the poppy rocky vein.
Let's go to Russia.
Okay, there's a good place.
In Russia, you will find the band Pink Shiny Ultra Blast. It's all one word. They put out this gorgeous record called Grand Feathered, right, basically right at the beginning of the year. And this is a band that their touchstones are like a lot of like 80s noise pop and shoegaze. But also because Russia has such like an interest in metal, there's a lot of like heavy stuff going on and there's a lot of noise underlying everything that's going on. But on top of it is this gorgeous and lilting voice that's kind of like holding all this stuff together. But at the end of the day, they're just gorgeous pop songs. They're just kind of loud. And
sung in English?
No, in Russian. In fact, this was a record I turned to a lot this year. Like, the way I kind of think of it is like, you know that kid in high school that was just kind of like effortlessly cool but wasn't a jerk about it? Like, that's this record.
Okay, here we go. An appropriate name for a band, if ever there was one. Pink, Shiny, Ultra Blast.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really good.
The name of that record is Grand Feathered. That song was The Cherry Pit.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Care.com, who wants you to know that if you paid $2,000 or more a year for a nanny, then you're responsible for nanny taxes. Care.com/homepay is a comprehensive resource for busy families that can handle all of your employer payroll obligations, from setting up automatic payments to preparing tax returns. Go to care.com/homepay to learn more and get a free consultation.
Take us out on something good.
Take us out. So my favorite record of the year, this is my favorite record of the year. There is an artist who records under her name is Dawn Richard, but she records under the name Dawn, and the A is looks like a triangle. I'm not sure what that symbol is called, but extremely quick bio. She was in the MTV reality show that P. Diddy put together of making the band, and so Dawn Richard was in this band called Danity Kane. They made some like really great pop music. And I think she stands very firm by what she made with that band, but she read interviews over the years where she felt extremely manipulated and wasn't in control of like who she was as an artist. So when she went solo, she started making just these very weird Afrofuturist pop records, drawing a through line into like Erykah Badu and like the disco house legend Larry Heard and maybe like a little bit of Sun Ra, but filtering it through her own lens. And out the end of it came this gorgeous and very strange danceable pop music. And of course, this is Lars bait to me, because like my extreme ends, I love top 40 pop music, which I don't know if many people know that, but I love top 40 pop music, and I love the weird and the strange. And when those worlds come together so strongly and so holistically like Dawn has done, then yes, I'm going to pay attention. And so this is the third record that she has made since going solo. And it is, by turns, kind of her most conventional of the three, but no less, like, there will just be moments where, like, she'll all of a sudden put in, like, a little free jazz sample loop at the end of a track, or throw in some, like, weird percussion where it doesn't make any sense that it's there. And ostensibly, her roots are in EDM, electronic dance music, in rave music, and soul and R&B, and she just kind of like filters it all in a way that like none of our pop stars are really doing right now. And I saw her live, Bob. Oh my gosh, one of the best live performances wow. I've ever seen. And she was in this tiny, you've been to DC9 here in Washington, D.C., small space, not very big, decent sound system.
Yeah, actually.
And the room was just packed. And so, like, Dawn just kind of, like, makes a beeline from her dressing room to the front, and everybody just kind of backs off. And then, like, for an hour and a half, it was just nonstop. I've never seen that much energy and care put into a performance.
Wow.
Ever.
Wow.
In fact, I encouraged Adam Kissick, who is a photographer that we work with quite often, when you guys were going to South by Southwest in March, I was like, Adam, Dawn is performing like a bunch of shows. You need to go see her, because I knew this was like right up his alley. And he texted me later, like 2 a.m. and it was like, Lars, oh my gosh, Dawn is the best thing I've ever seen.
Wow.
The exciting thing, like of the many exciting things about Dawn, is that she is completely self-made. She's completely independent. She owns all of her music, and she is in charge of everything she does. But the kind of like the crazier thing is that she is a Black woman making challenging pop music in a landscape that doesn't really allow that. And so the record she put out this year, Redemption, is my favorite record of the year. It's the thing that I listen to all the time. And it takes so many weird twists and turns that like I really couldn't sum up this record in one song. So I thought we'd go out with the banger. So let's do Love Under Lights.
Fantastic. Thank you, Lars. You need to like come up to me, grab me by the throat and said, you need to put this on the show. I'm coming on.
Well,
or just bust in the studio.
I mean, we might as well take this opportunity to announce that I will be joining All Songs Considered full time in 2017.
Yeah, I'm so glad of that.
I'll basically be
more
mostly...
Lars is what 2017 stands for.
I'll be writing a lot more for the blog. I'll be doing some production, and I'll be coming up with ideas
here
for the show. And yeah, I'll be on the show more often. I won't be a host or anything, but I'll be on the show more often.
That's great. Thanks so much. Happy 2017, because 2016 is just finally over.
It's over.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's good. All right, let's dance, Bob.
Cheers. From PR Music, it's All Songs Considered.
She was 5'10", looking real good in her skin. I think her shirt says Zeppelin. Boots up to her ass, man. She was elevated. She was a fan of the niggas that kept her motivated. She said she fucking with Drake. I said King Kendrick. I guess we're kindred spirits. And I will never, never lie to you. I think you are the truth. I think I like to do some things to you. I love this cool. me he was on something. I took my papers and I wrote something. We're looking for some temporary loving.